Hello, I'm Kay Drowen. Welcome to Fatima Today. Oftentimes when we think of Padre Pio, who has been beatified by the Church in 1999, we think of Our Lady of Fatima. He had such wonderful devotion to Mary at Fatima that those who became close to Mary and her messages of Fatima took Padre Pio as their spiritual father. In fact, he had promised that he would work in heaven for his spiritual sons and daughters on earth, spreading the message of Fatima. He is also a patron saint of the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate. And today we welcome Brother Francis Mary Cavillage, who has edited a book called The Wonder Worker on Padre Pio. And Brother Francis is from New Bedford, Massachusetts, and has been a frequent guest on Fatima Today. Welcome again, Brother Francis Mary. I always want to call you Father. I had to correct myself.
There aren't too many brothers around.
No, so that's not easy. In the Franciscans.
No, really. No. Well, Francis himself was never a priest. He was a cleric. He was ordained a deacon, so that put him in the clerical order. I'm not a cleric. I'm a lay person. They used to formally call us lay brothers to make the distinction between an ordained minister, which the deacon is. You have the ordained deacons, and you got the permanent deacons, and you got the temporary deacons or transitory deacons. But they're part of the sacrament of holy orders, whereas I am not. But it just seems like there are fewer brothers around today than there were in former times, largely because of education, With the greater education that everybody has today, people are more qualified to become priests. I didn't choose to become a priest, so I remained a brother.
And for many years.
Oh, yes. Better than 50 years.
Better than 50.
Well, now wait a moment. I take that back. It's 50 years this year.
All right. But we won't say what this year is.
Okay. slight exaggeration.
Yeah.
Any rate, in regard to Fatima, I don't know if we mentioned before in a previous program how Padre Pio was cured by Our Lady of Fatima. The Fatima Pilgrim Virgin statue was visiting Italy at a particular time that Padre Pio was very much under the weather. He was very sickly, and they weren't even sure if he would continue on because he was bedridden, and he couldn't even get down to visit Our Lady of Fatima when it was brought by helicopter from another part of Italy to San Giovanni Rotondo for veneration of the people there, knowing that there would be a large contingent of people that would be there for one of the celebrations of Padre Pio. Well, as the, Padre Pio prayed that he would be cured, and he wasn't cured, and as the helicopter was being carried away, carrying the statue of Our Lady of Fatima away, he complained to Our Lady, here you've been here, and you haven't cured me.
I know.
And all that I've done, and suffered for you, and you didn't give me a cure. Well, at that instant, he was miraculously cured.
Yeah.
So he had a great devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. Mm. And she had a great love for him.
Yes.
As a privileged son.
He was.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
Of course, we should also mention that like St. Francis, he suffered with the stigmata.
Oh, yeah, right.
But I think he was the first priest
That's right.
A stigmata. As you pointed out, St. Francis was not a priest.
Yep.
So he's the first priest, and he was a Capuchin, right?
Uh-huh.
And which is an order of the Franciscans.
Right.
And did he establish your order?
No, he was a very good friend of the priest who did establish this order of ours, which, the Capuchins, well, as an illustration, most people are familiar with Father Benedict Rochelle. He's been on the Eternal Word Network TV for many times, and he's a good personal friend of Mother Angelica. Well, they're kind of a renewal order from the Capuchins, and we're kind of a renewal of the conventual Franciscans, of which our present general and the founder was at one time a conventual. But while he was a conventual, he consulted with Padre Pio, who gave him special direction on how to establish this new order, a renewal group. And Padre Pio was a good personal friend of his dad and the whole family. Mm-hmm. In fact, he received his first Holy Communion from him. Mm-hmm. So here is a man who was a real close associate with Padre Pio, who helped establish this new conventual reform or renewal.
So it's 20th century.
And it's very much tied in with the Kolbian consecration to Mary.
Yes.
So this is
Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
Right, right.
And you call yourselves the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate.
Right.
And I believe so did Maximilian Kolbe.
Well, his group, they were conventual Franciscans, but he encouraged, when he was in Japan as a missionary, he encouraged his missionary brothers there, because they were all brothers. I think he had maybe one or two priests, but they were mostly brothers. He encouraged them to make a private dedication or a promise to Our Lady of total consecration, to give themselves totally. And it was never made into a formal part of the, you know, the order to make that act of total consecration, a vow. Mm-hmm. And we do. We make the four vows, the three traditional vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and we take a fourth vow of total consecration to Mary, after the example of St. Maximilian.
Well, I noticed I was commenting on your cord before the program began, and you were showing me the knots on
this. They represent
cord.
The vows. So the fourth vow is represented by the fourth knot.
Right.
Traditionally, there are only three knots, indicating the three evangelical councils, poverty, chastity, and obedience. Mm-hmm. And the fourth one embraces all three. Mm-hmm. Because if you
That's
truly give yourself to Our Lady,
right.
the other three will fall into line.
That's right.
So
That's right.
That's when we renew our consecration to our Blessed Lord every morning after Mass. The first vow that we renew is total consecration to Mary.
That's beautiful.
It is, really. I mean,
really
we really zero in on Our Lady, and she has an important vow. Among our priests, we have a priest named Father Peter, who happens to be our superior, and he's a great advocate and a great theologian, and he understands and fully appreciates the fact that Mary is a mediatrix of all graces. And that's a doctrine that has never been declared a dogma of the Catholic faith, but there are efforts today to make it a dogma, or to define it because a dogma, because we know that in the long tradition of the Church, it has been considered part of our Catholic faith, but it hasn't been defined yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. And at Fatima, she pretty much was spelling that out. Uh-huh. And she said, Jesus wants peace in the world through my Immaculate Heart, through Mary. Again, all those graces poured out upon the world. And in the back of this wonderful book that you have out now, The Wonder Worker, Padre Pio, you have some quotes by Padre Pio on the back, and I see one of them is, all graces given by God pass through the Blessed Mother. Right. So that was also what Padre Pio was reiterating. And it's been something the Church has always held.
Uh-huh.
Now, if Jesus came through Mary, then the grace also
comes. It's very traditional. It's very biblical.
Right.
And as much as, you know, you look at Scripture, and the initial appearance of Christ is in the womb of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Mary consented to Angel Gabriel and said, okay, I accept your proposal to be the Mother of God, she became the mother of the head of the Church, which is Christ. And we look on the Church as a mystical body. We as members, each one of us, are part of that body. But the head is Christ, and the neck, from which all graces come ultimately from the head, pass through the neck to each member of the body. This is kind of a figurative symbols. Way of speaking, but St. Paul brings in this idea of mystical body very strongly.
Right.
That as each one of us are members of the mystical body, so too, as we become stronger and more committed to our faith, the more we strengthen the body of the church, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the mystical body of Christ. So Mary is central in that role.
Mm-hmm. And on this back cover, you have this wonderful picture of Padre Pio kissing uh-huh. the statue of Our Lady
right.
of Fatima. For those out there who don't know much about Padre Pio, you really cover his whole life, and there's some wonderful, wonderful pictures of Padre Pio from the time he was a young man right up until his death. Pictures of him with his stigmata, pictures of where he lived.
He bore the burn wounds of Christ in his hands, feet, and side for 50 years.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that stigmata was that at the time of his death, these wounds that he bore for 50 years disappeared. Indicating or symbolizing the resurrection.
Yeah, what a nice thought.
So,
that's true.
He was really a man that really could say, I live no longer, you know, St. Paul mm-hmm. said, I live no longer myself, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the living image of Christ crucified in as much mm-hmm. as he bore the wounds of Christ, and he bore the spirit of Christ within his heart.
He did. There are also some wonderful charisms that he possessed.
Uh-huh.
And I think that attracted people. He could read souls.
Right.
So people wanted to go to confession to him, because if you really want to feel as if you've made a good confession, you'd
sure.
love to be told that uh-huh. your heart has been searched and that you have been truthful to the Lord in mm-hmm. your, you mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
Well, penance, but he could do that. And people spent hours waiting in line for him to go to confession.
That's right.
And he wasn't always a gentle confessor.
Mm-hmm. That was his main work, you know, because, you know, each person has a charism. And you could say that the special charism of Saint, well, he's not saint, but he soon will be eventually canonized, Blessed Padre Pio was a great confessor.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, he had the gift of reading souls, and he brought many souls back to Christ through the confessional.
Yes, he did.
And,
then people would claim that they would get a scent from him, and
uh-huh.
often associated with the scent
yeah.
of sanctity.
Right.
There would be this this odor from his
like
wounds.
Beautiful flowers
or whatever.
Roses or whatever.
And people swear he had the power of bilocation.
Right.
Because he would be one place, you know, not dead now, he's alive.
Right.
One place, and yet
and
someone
in another place else.
Would yeah. be talking to him somewhere
yeah, it happened
else.
Happened right here in this country.
It did?
Bilocation. Yeah, in Milwaukee, one of the priests in San Giovanni Rotondo, where he was stationed, an American, had a father that was dying in Milwaukee. And at that time, the rules were strict, you know, cloister, that the son couldn't go to his father's bedside to assist him in his last illness.
Mm-hmm.
And Padre Pio knew about it, and he, by golly, he actually bilocated to Milwaukee to be at the bedside of his fellow friar, Dad, who was dying in mm-hmm. Milwaukee. And, you know, after he had appeared, and I don't know if he brought him the sacrament, but he consoled him, heard his confession, whatever, they showed him a picture of Padre Pio, and he says, that's
the
friar
the
that appeared. That's the one that friar. He said that a friar had come
in
here, and they never saw him come in.
Mm-hmm.
He just
mm-hmm.
appeared.
And another thing, because he has been beatified, so
uh-huh.
that means, you know, of course, we have a feast day for him in the church, and a miracle has been
right.
confirmed. But he had so many miracles confirmed in his lifetime.
Right.
I mean,
none of those count.
The blind.
None of those count, though, in his lifetime. It's only after death that they, you know, investigate thoroughly for just one validly considered miraculous cure.
So all the cures he did in his lifetime don't count towards sainthood. You have to have a miracle after he's dead and someone's prayed to him.
Right.
And they can prove that it was through their prayer and his intercession. But exactly. All the miracles he did during his life don't count.
None of them count.
That's interesting.
And he just you have to die first to become a saint.
You have to, well, I know that.
Sorry, you have to die first.
The business of the miracle. Right. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Very. Well, that then says... He's in heaven, right?
Right.
He's got God's ear.
That's it. That's the criteria.
But he suffered at the hands of the adversary as well, physically.
Yeah, the devil really.
Right.
Physically assaulted him.
Yes.
We consider the machinations of the devil are strictly on a spiritual plane, and it's true. That's the first and essential means that the devil has of subverting humanity, which he hates.
Mm-hmm.
He hates human beings because he knows that human beings are going to take his place, which normally he would have had in heaven. That through his rebellion and the wicked angels that followed him, we are replacing their place in eternal glory. So he has an intense hatred. And Padre Pio was physically assaulted by the devil, and this happens in some of the most outstanding saints in the church calendar,
right.
Like the Curia of Ars.
Right. Also a great confessor.
He was
Padre Pio.
Yep.
Yep.
And so, God allows that. I mean, the devil can only do as much as God allows him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this was kind of a extra sacrifice that poor Padre Pio had to endure at the hands of the devil, but certainly he always succeeded in winning out.
Mm.
Because
he looks like a portly man in the pictures that you have in here in his later life.
Uh-huh.
And yet I know that he did a lot of fasting.
Oh, yes.
And he didn't eat very much.
Yeah, well, the doctors that have been examined him, he used as much as, a cup of blood a day. From the bleeding of his wounds of the stigmata, and yet, he just took a very minimal amount of food, and the doctors just couldn't explain how he could exist on such a small diet.
He and looked
yet,
robust.
He looked like a good, healthy, robust person.
Right.
So it was really miraculous. I mean, his primary food was the Eucharist. The
mm-hmm.
Blessed
That's
Sacrament,
right.
which he received during Mass, and that wouldn't have sustained anybody. And then he'd just take a little bit of this food and a little bit of that, not enough to sustain a good, healthy person. And he had a pretty hard physical life, sitting in that confessional maybe 8 or 9, 10 hours a day, And,
mm-hmm.
and he just didn't have time for any other activity, and he succeeded in, living a good, long, fruitful life. He was in his 80s when he died.
Mm-hmm.
So doctors were amazed. When, interesting enough, as far as, his physical constitution goes, once he had such high temperatures, 120 degrees.
Oh my, they should be dead.
That's right. The doctors, and they've got evidence of thermometers that broke. Through the excessive heat, these thermometers burst, and yet he survived.
Yeah.
So he was an astounding person, and God allowed all these tremendous manifestations mm-hmm. for the interior holiness of this man, because the church never focuses, people focus on the extraordinary,
right.
But the church tries to avoid as much as possible
the sensational,
anything that would be sensational.
Right.
The church looks to the person's practice of virtue, his holiness,
right.
How he lived the theological virtues which are infused in our soul at baptism. Poverty is reflected in the three virtues.
Faith.
The first one is, of course, faith, hope, and charity, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, how can you have faith if you don't believe in the hereafter? And if you don't believe in the hereafter, you're not going to make the sacrifice
right.
to live a life of charity, a life of love of God and your fellow men. mm-hmm. which ultimately embraces the other two, mm-hmm. as St. Paul points out.
Well, Fatima today has some things we'd like to offer our audience at no charge. And those of you who might be interested in receiving something on Padre Pio, get a pencil now, and our address is at the end of the program. If you miss it today, you can always get the address next week. And write to us and say you would like the information we have on Padre Pio. First, we have some nice prayer cards, which have a wonderful prayer to Padre Pio to obtain the glorification of Padre Pio. And, of course, as you said, we're still waiting to have him be declared saint, but he is now blessed, Padre Pio, and you can pray to him with confidence. Next, we have a little booklet of exhortations of Padre Pio, and what they are wonderful quotes, like some of the quotes you have on the back of this book, and we've got them in a booklet, and they'll be free of charge, and we can send those to you. They're little bits of advice, spiritual advice, from Padre Pio. And if you would like this book that Brother Francis Mary has published, then this is for the benefit of your order as well. It is Padre Pio, The Wonder Worker. And you can get that from Ignatius Press. And we are putting up an 800 number on the screen. They can order directly from them, right?
Good. Very good.
Right. So did you edit this book? Or write this book? How did you get all the material that you needed
for
this book?
Well, actually, I was the editor of a magazine. It's called Immaculata, after Our Lady, for better than 25 years, about 27 years. And this magazine, over the years, had articles. In fact, we had a special issue of that magazine, strictly on Padre Pio. And so I wasn't starting from scratch. I was starting from material that I had gathered over the years. Mm-hmm. And so we based a lot of it on material that I had used in our magazine. Mm-hmm. But there are different authors, authorities on Padre Pio. We even have an article in there by our Father General who explains his close association with Padre Pio.
Yeah, that you mentioned,
and he came from a family of, I believe, 22 children.
22 children?
Yes. Can you imagine?
All from the same mother?
They would come down to San Giovanni Ritano, the whole bunch of them. They must have hired a bus or had a bus to bring them all down there. But they'd come down every year to visit Padre Pio.
Oh, his mother was a saint.
I guess so. I guess so.
She had to be a saint.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Well, and his name was Francis, I believe, Padre Pio's name.
Sure.
Was Francis, named after St. Francis. And, of course, he is a Franciscan, as you explained so nicely to us. So what was the miracle, do you know, that beatified Padre Pio? Which one that they had selected of the many after his death, I'm sure?
Yeah, I don't recall exactly what miracle it was. But it was one of those miracles that defy all natural explanation. It has to be something that is done instantaneously, you know, and not something over a long, long period of time that would allow for maybe natural cure, a natural process of cure taking place. No, it was instantaneous.
Just like
and
that.
And it was something that science, medical science, could not explain other than the fact that this happened. Mm-hmm. It's inexplainable, but it happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. But then, and there's quite a bit of research that has to go into that, too. They have a theological board, they have a medical board, and they pretty much act
the
as the devil's advocate.
The church is very, very careful.
Right.
Very
but careful. No one was surprised at Padre Pio's beatification. No one.
No, that's true.
Everyone expected it a lot earlier than it came, actually.
Exactly, exactly.
Because our own
Of the reasons why the delay, there were even high churchmen that opposed him in this life. And so, you know, a lot of it was in connection with this beautiful hospital. He was the administrator of a hospital that cost many millions of dollars. And there was a little bit of a misunderstanding over the funds that came in. Some people accused him of misappropriating them. But it was proven false. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be a saint today if he had.
Well, that's another one of Satan's little ploys.
Exactly. That's one of the indications of sanctity, of persecution.
Right.
And he suffered persecution.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
He certainly did. In fact, he was obedient.
Oh.
While he was being investigated,
right.
He was told he could not publicly practice his faculties.
There were severe regulations that were put on him.
Right.
He couldn't celebrate public mass.
Right.
He couldn't hear confessions for a while there. And this is something that was very dear to him, you know.
Right. Satan got his way, didn't he, for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly
but he was obedient.
Uh-huh. And obedience to the church is one of the signposts, too, of a saint.
Oh, definitely.
And he abided.
Heroic.
Heroic virtue, and he obeyed, and did not.
Right.
He abstained.
Good example for all of us. Because God's saints are raised up not for the benefit of that individual saint. He's got his reward in heaven. He doesn't need anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for us to imitate and to pray to them for the same kind of
I just want to remind our audience, it's called Padre Pio, The Wonder Worker. You can get it from Ignatius Press. And the name of the publisher is Your Order,
right.
Which is called the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate.
Or the Academy of the Immaculate Books.
And Brother Francis is right here in Massachusetts in the New Bedford Diocese. And his bishop has the imprimatur, Bishop Sean O'Malley, in the front of all Brother Francis' books.
Yes, he's been very supportive. By the way, he's a Franciscan, too.
Yes, he is.
That might have something to do with it.
Right. Well, thank you very much for joining us again, Brother Francis. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk about Our Lady.
Yes, I know it. You have a little bit of a gleam in your eye when you speak of her.
Okay.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us today, and watch us next week on Fatima Today.